Hi, everyone. Welcome inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Proud to be in front of a couple dozen season ticket holders joining us here. Let's let the radio audience hear from all of you. Not just waves. This is radio. We need to hear from you guys. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday night here at Hallis Hall. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin, who has DePaul basketball coming up after 7 o'clock tonight as DePaul takes on Drake alongside Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. We are pleased to be joined by fellow guard folks. We have 60 minutes of hand placement and footwork coming up here tonight. Eric Cush, would you please welcome Eric Cush to the show here tonight?
How you guys doing?
Thanks for spending some time with us here. So we'll get into the whole Hard Knocks, the tank top stuff. That's what you have been known for, but you're getting known for stepping in and doing a pretty good job here over the last couple weeks, sliding with all the injuries at guard. And let's dive into your backstory a little bit. You grew up blue collar, all right, outside Pittsburgh in that hotbed of football.
Yeah, I grew up in the Whippeal, Western Pennsylvania. Blue collar parents, blue collar city, just working hard, every day.
And you went to the University of California. Not that University California.
No. California University of Pennsylvania.
Of Pennsylvania.
When I, first started coming to, doing stuff for the league, whether it's visits or this or that, the other, I had to explain that to a lot of people. We're the California Vulcans, actually.
Oh, and is a Vulcan, is that like a, is that a vulture?
No,
Falcon, combination combo platter?
It's a Roman god of fire and blacksmithing.
I'm learning something.
Yeah,
here
it's a pretty cool logo.
Were you a Steelers guy or a Philadelphia Eagles guy?
No, I was definitely a Steelers guy. You can't grow up in Pittsburgh and not be a Steelers fan. You get shunned.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of guys that we came through, Dick Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and, a lot of Jimbo Cover and all these guys are, strong Pennsylvania background. But, it's kind of a question you have to ask because, the Steelers are great and they have been for so long, but the Eagles have a big following in that area, too.
Oh, absolutely. And, you go to school with kids from the other side of the state and everything, and you jag them and you tease them, and it's a pretty good rivalry.
So when you're growing up, going to high school, was football always the main love for you? Did you play some other sports or not?
Well, I started one of the first sports I fell in love with was actually wrestling back in second grade. When my dad first came in, was like, "Hey, you wanna try wrestling?" And I was like, "Heck yeah, I want to try wrestling." So I started like army crawling up the stairs and around the living room. Like, is this going to help me? Is this going to help me for wrestling?
But how beneficial is it? Because the best football players that I ever played with, mm-hmm. they were great wrestlers in their background. And when you look at some of them, from Matsui was our fullback, to Jay Hilgenberg, to John Wojciechowski, to Jimbo mm-hmm. Covert, all these guys that I played with that end up having great NFL careers. It's a lot of it is the fundamentals that you learn from wrestling.
Yeah, it's all leverage and body position and understanding that and training that through years of wrestling. It definitely benefited my my football career, and I tell kids that all the time. Whether it's young high school kids looking to improve, I say, hey, go get in that mat room. Go talk to your wrestling coach and start wrestling around.
So was it 4 years of wrestling through high school along with the football?
Yeah, well, I did. I started in second grade, wrestled all the way up to high school, and then. One of my high school football coaches was like, I was always a beanpole. I was probably my freshman year of high school. I was probably about 6'2" and a half, 6'3", but 150 pounds. I was a string bean. And one of my high school coaches kind of got in my ear a little bit and said, hey Eric, if you lift all winter, you might be able to get a football scholarship. Big athletic guy. And so I wrestled my freshman year at 152 pounds was the weight class. And then my sophomore year just got a, late growth spurt. I was just a late bloomer and put on about 65 pounds just growing, late blooming, and came back my sophomore year and was going to wrestle 215 or heavyweight. I was probably about 206, 210 pounds. And then I was like, I'm gonna lift this winter instead of playing football. Instead of wrestling. Awesome. Father didn't talk to me all winter.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, Dad, let's go, let's go hunting. It's deer season. Nothing. No, so that kind of, that hurt. I came back my junior year, wrestled my junior year and senior year, and placed at states at heavyweight twice in Pennsylvania.
How was your high school football program? Because that's leading me to the question why you ended up at Cal, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. instead of a bigger school out there when you consider them. And did you have a top-notch high school program?
We didn't, but my senior year, we made it to the playoffs for the first time, I think, or had our first playoff win mm-hmm. for the first time in a long time, I believe. And I was playing left tackle at, 220 pounds during the football season. So I was always a little undersized to play lineman, especially when I was younger. Like I said, my freshman year of high school, I was 150 pounds trying to play O-line. So all the other kids would be like,
"But you wrestled."
Yeah. Right. All the other kids would tease me like, "Oh, you're too skinny. You're too small. Get out of here." You know, I'm trying to do O-line drills with them and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating because you go to the University of California in Pennsylvania, and it says a lot about the process of going to a school like that, that I don't know how many people in this room have ever heard of prior to coming in here tonight, but actually making your way up to where you are right now in the NFL, what was that, I don't know, attention-grabbing process like? Because, you know, I heard all the stories about if you're a good enough football player, scouts are going to find you. But what was that journey like when, you know, everyone seems to focus on all the power conferences in college?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. So let's start my freshman year going into Cal PA. You know, I was originally recruited to play defensive end there. I was like, all right, I'm going to go play D end. And it's moving day in training camp, and head coach John Lockhart at the time comes over and he says, you know, hey, Eric, we had some injuries, quote-unquote injuries, at O-line over the summer. We're going to need you to play O-line, you know. And that's how a lot of guys these days, right, you know, end up being, you know, good O-linemen. D-linemen get, you know, changed in college or changed whenever. So then my O-line coach was, you know, I'd go in, work hard, you know, bust my butt. But he'd always say, you know, Eric, I need you 10 pounds heavier. You know, I was 230 pounds. He's like, all right, I need you 10 pounds heavier. So I'd work and work and work and train and eat and train and eat. You know, with Bobby Sapizzi, was our weightlifting coach there at Cal PA. He still is. So I'd bust my butt in that weight room with him, and then I'd come back, you know, 250 the next training camp comes around. Of course, you're doing great, whatever. But I need you at 265. You know, I'd be like, son of a gun.
So I wish that was a problem I could have. Just keep putting on weight. So yeah, request.
I just kept working and working and working, and then I got my first opportunity to start there at left tackle. And just kept working, and eventually Nick Piccirillo, who was our starting center when I played left tackle, he was graduating, so there was a chance to move inside, and I felt that center at the next level was going to be my best opportunity. I wasn't going to be a 6'4", 270-pound left tackle, you know. Mm-hmm. So kept putting more weight on, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever, and then bumped inside to play next to a guy named Rashad Johnson, who transferred from Ole Miss, and he was already a guy getting a lot of looks and everything. So I was like, I'm going to go play next to this guy, you know. So scouts are checking him out. They're going to see me, you know. And it worked out. You know, it worked out. I was able to get my redshirt year back for a shoulder injury my freshman year, and just kept grinding, grinding, grinding. And then going into the summer break, going into my senior year, I'm getting like phone calls and, you know, from people, and they're like, hey, you know, my name's so and so, and I'm like, why are these guys just all of a sudden calling me and stuff? And then finally, someone told me about a you know, draft scouting stuff like that and lists and whatnot that I was on, and I was like, you know, holy crap, you know, this is incredible. I just, you know, it wasn't my plan, you know. I just kept working hard, and this came around, and I was like, you know, holy crap.
But looking back on all those trial and error that you had, it's had to help you to where you are now,
mm-hmm.
because you've had a lot of trial and error in your professional life, but what you learned as a young college kid, it had to make you realize, look, if I put in the effort, I'm good enough to accomplish my goal, and look where you are now.
Absolutely. It just takes hard work and keep going and you know, knowing what your next step is and what you got to do to get to that step. And that's how my, you know, everything's been so far for me in the league. I had to persevere and push through some stuff, mm-hmm. you know, go here, go there. Just keep going to work and make it happen.
That's a conversation we need to have longer, because I think it's a great lesson for young kids to hear your story,
mm-hmm.
because I think of anybody that's come through the Bears, I'm as impressed with your accomplishments as I am anybody.
Six teams in 2 years. We'll go through some of that journey as we burn our first time out here on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of our season ticket holders. Joining us here for tonight's program with Tom Thayer and our special guest, Eric Cush. Back after this. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. Back inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We're here with a couple dozen season ticket holders joining us here as Eric Cush joins Tom Thayer and myself. until 7 o'clock. So let's talk a little bit about this journey. Sixth-round draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs back in 13. You spent a couple years with them before getting cut, I guess, on one of the final cutdowns with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. So then a week in Tampa, what amounts to a week in Tampa. This is all in 2015, folks. A week in Tampa, about 5 weeks in Carolina or so. Something
or so,
like that.
Maybe a little more.
10 days in Houston. And then late November, you sign on with the Rams and are with them all the way up until the final cuts this past summer. You have a saint as a wife, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Right, Stephanie?
Oh, she puts up with a lot. She takes care of a lot at home.
But, yeah, especially on this last time when we got to see you go into the room with Jeff Fisher during Hard Knocks and get that news. And I guess it was between you and another guy that they had to choose from, as is usually the case. But I don't know if it was like this in previous drafts, but this one seemed to you had to do all you could to kind of keep your emotions in check, didn't mm-hmm. you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an emotional time. You know, you put in all this effort, all this work, and you want to stick around. You know, if you like where you are, you want to stick around and stuff. And not only do you not want to stick around, you don't want to be the guy who didn't make it, or you know, I didn't make this, I didn't do well enough, or I didn't do something. You know, so it's emotional when that day comes and they're like, yeah, you know, we don't want you, or you know, we made a different decision, and that's, you know, very hard. And I loved, you know, I loved Jeff Fisher a lot. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun in that organization and everything. Had a fun time, you know, through training camp and with them and everything. So it was a tough day.
You know, back in my time with the Bears, we had Tom Waddle, who tried out with us, and he got cut three times by the same team. And I always said, what makes this guy keep coming back? And then he came back and had a really nice career with the Bears and has been able to have a nice career after it because of it. Did you ever I feel bad for asking you this, but did you ever think about not playing football, or were you always so committed that you knew eventually your opportunity would present itself?
Well, you just keep going, yeah. You know. It's you try to, you know, stretch your career as long as you can. So I just kept grinding, and that's what I'm doing here. Just keep grinding and everything and take advantage of the opportunity, you know, that I have right now.
I remember watching the first episode of Hard Knocks when you got introduced, and I saw you unpacking all your tank tops, and I was thinking, wow, this guy must have been around the NFL for quite a while. And then you kind of become aware of your story. And so you're kind of like a cult following for anybody who's gone in, you know, and attempted a professional life and something that's difficult, because now you kind of get more attached to your story. And I think that was the neat thing about it. Was it difficult for you in terms of, you know, the seriousness of training camp, the competitiveness of everyday practice, and then you have that story that's following you around?
Well, you know, you work hard with all these guys and everything. And, but you want to have fun, you know, you're competing out there, you know, for a job, for a roster spot and everything, but it'll eat you alive if you don't enjoy what you're doing or enjoy, you know, each day, you know, as it comes. So you just, enjoy the friendships that you make along the way, you know, even whether you're competing with a friend for the job, you know, you just enjoy the process, enjoy, the experience.
How distracting was it, though? I mean, were you able to pretty much put it aside unless they're right there in your face, having all those cameras following you all around? Because it takes a big decision by an organization, you know, especially when they go behind the scenes, mm-hmm. to accept that they're going to be a part of this. So how much of a distraction was it for you guys?
I'm sure for some guys a lot. For me, I was just being myself. You know, I had a lot of friends who watched it. A lot of people I grew up with would text me and he would say, Kush, man, I'm glad you never changed. I'm glad, you know, that nothing's different. You're the same person, you know, throughout, you know, my whole football career. So I was just being myself, having fun, and they caught some of it on camera.
What about the blue language? Does anybody ever say anything about it? Because, I mean, it's part of practice.
It's
part of competition. I know, but, again, if I was on Hard Knocks during the era of going through training camp and every time.
Can you imagine the 85 Bears?
It would have been a great Hard Knocks, but I also, you know, my mom never found out I owned a motorcycle until they showed it on the front page of the newspaper on the way to training camp. She called me up crying. And so I only imagine, back to the question, is you have some language situations that present themselves in the competitiveness than anybody ever say, hey, Eric, come on,
clean up the language. Right. Well, you know, it's football, you know, it's tough, it gets gritty out there. So you try to watch what you're going to say, you know, but that's why it was on HBO and not Sunday morning TV or something, mm-hmm. you know. So A little bit, but you just try to be yourself. Yeah. You know, what happens, happens.
How did they find you and your story?
Well, I just happened to move in to training camp, you know, with my bags and stuff. And they said, hey, want to film you, you know, walking into the room? So I carried my bags, and they said, you know, they stuck the cameras around. I'm like, okay, are they going to leave? You know, I'm here. So then I just started, they stood there and watched me in my little dorm room unpacking my bag. So I'm like, all right. If you're going to sit here and film me, this is my workout tank, this is my whatever tank.
So they weren't even aware of your tank collection.
No, they had no idea. I just happened to bring
it. It became a continuing story.
Yeah, and then they're like, hey, you know, let's have fun with this. And so we did, and I did. You know, I love my tank tops and everything, and sunny Southern California was a good time to have tank tops.
Have you introduced them to the Bears yet, the tank top? You know, you have the spaghetti straps for weightlifting. Yeah. You have the formal tank tops for going out to dinner at a nice restaurant.
Yeah, no, casual. You know.
Ladies, are we disappointed we're not in the tank top tonight here, or no? Yeah.
Yes,
a lot of nods in the audience there. But fat arm every day.
Fat arm every day, right? Well, I'm only allowed to wear tank tops on Fridays in the weight room, fat arm Friday. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the day, it's just a sleeveless Bears workout shirt.
But you want to make this into a business. And do you have a couple that are your faves? You know, we saw you with the American flag one and on Hard Knocks. Did you have a couple that that have a special place in your heart?
Well, the American flag tank top was just one that I bought and had for myself because I, you know, American fat on Friday. Why not do that every 4th of July or something, you know? But the ones we made in on the TV show, those were pretty fun to make and everything like that. So I'm going to, we're working on a website. You know, I have the name kushtanks.com, and we're working on getting it running, how I'm going to utilize it and how I'm going to do this thing. We're going to make our own tank tops, you know, whether it's something current events, you know, like maybe a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump, you know, tank top doing something funny or something, you know, or one of these Kermit the Frog memes or something, you know, stuff like that.
Well, when that comes to fruition, you'll probably tweet out the website something like that. You're Eric Kush 64.
Yeah, at Eric Kush 64 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm sure when I get it all figured out, I'll stick it out on there and retweet it a bunch of times.
You know, I think it's hard for people to understand how difficult it is to understand the terminology of a new offense. Mm-hmm. You were around a bunch of them last year, and then all of a sudden you get released by the Rams, and boom, you're with the Bears a couple days later. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in the system? Because now you've been able to start games, you understand the terminology and some of the most hostile environments that is going to be offered to you. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in a system in the terminology?
Well, it all started in Kansas City. I had a fantastic offensive line coach, Andrew Heck, and
who played here.
Yeah, the way he taught me to look at defenses and to understand the concept of the play, not just, you know, remembering looks. You know, right. You got to understand the concept of the play, and he really drove that home. So, whenever I went to another team, I'd say, okay, what is the concept they're trying to run, and what do they call it? Because once you figure out the concept, you can just, once you translate, all it is just translating the name. So if a team's going to run a zone play, you know, what are the concept of this type of zone? What do they call it? And then you're just remembering the names, and that's, you know, that's pretty much it. It seems simple, but it's not easy.
Right. I know it's.
Yeah.
It's not.
So once I went to another team, I'd be like, okay, this is what they call this play. That's what they call this play. That's what they call this play. And you go, you know, you move on from there. So when I came here, it was, you know, after doing this several times now, I was like, okay, you know, this is what we call it. Let's roll. You know, I'm ready to go.
A little bit more on his transition here to the Bears and becoming a contributor when Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, continues. We're here with a couple of dozen season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall as we visit with Bears offensive lineman Eric Kush. Back after this. Sunday's game is brought to you by Beggar's Pizza. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears tailgate apron courtesy of Beggar's Pizza. Beggar's Pizza, we lay it on thick. Welcome back inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall for Bears All Access. Brought to you by Uber. Bunch of season ticket holders joining us here as we enjoy some time alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Chris Bowden with Bears guard Eric Kush. We talked last segment a little bit about the disappointment that you got in that meeting with Jeff Fisher on final cutdown day or weekend or whatever it was. But the Bears called you pretty quickly, and that had to be a huge boost in your spirits. About how soon after you walked out those doors did your agent hear from Ryan Pace?
Well, you got to wait. Their cut day was a little bit earlier than the standard day, and right after that, for a younger player, you have to be on waiver wire. You know, so all the teams get access to look at this thing. So I had to wait a couple of days before it was officially, you know, out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thrilled to see where I was going to go next. And, you know, here in Chicago, having a great time.
What are you getting here with the Bears, outside of significant playing time, that perhaps you haven't gotten in any other four or five stops? What's unique about this opportunity here?
Well, I've got an opportunity to play. You know, I'm on the field on Sundays and everything, and that's been really good for me, putting some good film out there. And I'm working at guard. You know, I was typically a center. My first 2 years, I was just a pure center. Bouncing around a lot last year, you know, teams are like, hey, you're going to have to learn how to play guard, you know. So I have some more multi-position, you know, thing going for me. So in Carolina was my first time where I just played guard. Like, I didn't do any – I was on the P squad in Charlotte. And I didn't play, I barely played any center there at all. So it was, you know, learn how to play guard, and that's where I started playing guard. And then when the Rams picked me up, that's where I played guard too. So now I'm actually getting that opportunity to do it on Sundays and show what I can do and show that I can do it.
You know, even the games that you were inactive, I watch you on the field go through a routine with Kevin Mawai, one mm-hmm. of the offensive line coaches that came in at the beginning of this year. And it was like you're almost doing, as you know, in a full pre-game routine, mm-hmm. But it's like just repetitiously being done that you do as an offensive lineman. How helpful was that for you, just being mentally active, even though you weren't on the active roster for mm-hmm. a couple games?
Well, that's the thing. You don't know when someone's going to get hurt, what's right. going to happen. So you got to prepare like you're going to start that game every week, you know, and use the knowledge that you gain from weeks one to whenever you have to play to use it when you're playing. So you stay focused every week. You go through the routine like you're going to be the starter on Sunday, and it'll help you when your time comes. And my routine on Sunday was to get some extra work in. You know, when I was inactive, just get extra work in, more. You know, offensive line, they say, are creatures of habits, you know. Right. So you are what you consistently do. So you do the same steps every time, same hand placement, and keep – reinforcing that and everything, and that helps when it's your time to play.
I'm sure in some of your other stops, you played with some pretty decent guards. I don't know if any would get better than the combination that are here with Sitton and Long. How much are you able to pick up from them, even though you're new here and Josh also came in on that same weekend, too? Mm-hmm.
So I first met Josh at the hotel. They have new people stay in, you know, right down the road from
the New People Hotel.
Yeah.
right off the Tri-State.
Yeah. He said, you know, I see him, I'm like, hey. And he's like, hey, you're that tank top guy, aren't you? So we had a giggle about it, and I'm like, sure am. You know, let's go work hard and everything. So they're, you know, Kyle and Josh are great guys, you know, work hard in there and everything. And, you know, Josh's got some cool stories along the way from 9 years. This is his ninth year, right? From 9 years, you know, along the journey. So it's pretty cool to hear from them.
Well, let's not leave Ted Larson out of the mix, because, you know, we are introduced to Ted Larson in training camp, and here's a guy, beard, you know, stocky guy, mm-hmm. thick, fighting every day. I mean, does he give you that same look in the huddle when, you know, there's very little conversation that you can have, but, you know, when you guys break the huddle and you guys are going to be the two starting offensive guards down the road, is Ted give the same reflection in the huddle at in the games that he was giving the fans out of training camp practices?
Oh, absolutely. So Ted and I, when I first got here, we were the guards, you know, for the show team to give the defense a look to prepare for Sunday, you know. So we'd go through the plays that the defense was going to see. So Ted and I had a lot of fun just getting after it together, you know, with each other, giving the defense a good look, working hard, and then hitting the weight room hard and everything. And that's what you still see out of Ted, you know, Ted the old fire hydrant.
Right. You know, now that you've been playing guard for a while, does center seem a world away? Or is it just a matter of saying, hey, Eric, we need you to move over to center, take your glove off, boom, start mm-hmm. snapping?
Well, I still do a couple reps for the show team on center sometimes, just to keep that, you know, keep that skill, because it's different. You know, when you got a guard, you got a guy who's, you know, 2 feet to 4 feet away. When you're at center, you got a guy 6 inches off your nose. So you got to get used to quicker, tighter feet, tighter hands, you know, quicker reaction, getting your hands on a guy faster. So the process is a lot different, you know, at center and guard.
It should be noted, though, in the two starts from the start of a game that Eric and Ted Larson have had to fill in, I mean, our audience might be very well aware of it. They were the game against the Minnesota Vikings, a really good defense, and they kept Jay Cutler clean in that game, had a great running game. And then again last week against Tennessee, which also has a real, real strong defense. Mm-hmm. We saw what Jordan Howard can do, and they kept Matt Barkley clean too. So props to these guys for sliding right in when such high caliber guards like Sitton and Long are in. And there doesn't seem to be any drop-off. I know you're proud of that. I know you got to check it and probably park it as soon as that game is over with.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how much of a great feeling is it to be able to slide in for those two prominent guards and play the way you have been?
Well, we were absolutely thrilled, you know, having fun out there playing the Vikings and everything. And we made it a point to just go work hard, bust our butts, and have fun doing it, you know, not go out there stressed or go out there worried about anything. Just go have fun, go play hard, and execute. You know, do our job. And that was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun to do it last week. You know, we came up a little short, but we still had a lot of fun and took a lot of pride in no sacks allowed and everything like that.
A little bit more coming up as we take another time out here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. More on some of his new teammates and being able to be effective in that running game as well as pass protection. A little bit more on Sunday's game against Tennessee as well. We're here with season ticket holders, Bears season ticket holders on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. It's the official pregame show of your Chicago Bears, Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare every Sunday morning at 10:30 on Fox 32 Chicago. Our audience of Bears season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall. Tom, Eric, getting some autograph love from the crowd here on hand as we continue on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaidman tonight. Looking at some of your new teammates, I mean, the guy who's holding down the center position right now, the second-round draft pick, Cody Whitehair, how impressed are you as a guy who played that position to see that kid just kind of jump in, especially at the last minute right before the season and the way he's performed this year?
It's pretty cool, you know, having a kid, having a guy come in and understand everything and be able to make all the, correct calls and everything. And he does a fantastic job with that. And it goes to show his preparation throughout the week, you know, looking at the defenses, understanding what we're trying to do, and how much work, the guy puts in throughout the week.
Give our audience a little sense. Now you've gone through three different starting quarterbacks so far this season, and how much does how much it affects an offensive lineman in terms of the way they bark out calls or how plays are called in the huddle. There has to be a difference between them and a little bit of an adjustment period. You try and iron that out during the course of a practice week, I'm sure, but it's a little different in an emergency game situation too.
Yeah, you just the biggest difference is that, their cadence, how fast they, go through, why 20, so getting used to when you can actually go and when the quarterback or when the center is going to snap the ball in his cadence. But for the most part, it's the same plays. The quarterback's going to just tell us the play. And we're going to go up to the line of scrimmage and run that play, Sometimes maybe a quarterback will want to make this adjustment on a pass protection. Maybe another quarterback would rather throw a hot or something, But it's all just listening to, whoever's there and whoever's making the calls.
Well, can you give us an example? Because your first start with the Chicago Bears is in Lambeau Field, one of the most difficult environments to play in, especially for an offensive lineman, because once you leave the huddle, you're never going to hear anything mm-hmm. again. You're going to have to run the play. What size crowds did you play in college? And then you talk about because you never had the experience of not hearing the quarterback
absolutely.
In college. And then here you are with your first start with the Bears is you're not going to hear the quarterback.
Yeah.
So what size crowds did you play in college?
Well, Cal PA, I think we might have had 3,500 people in a game.
Really
maybe. And then my freshman, sophomore year there, we went pretty far in the playoffs. They have a playoff system. We might have had maybe 7 or 8, walking around there.
Tom, you had more than that at Joliet Catholic
right,
in your home days.
Well, we had a big stadium in high school. But was it an overwhelming experience when you go to Lambeau? Because, you drive up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know if it was your first time there or not, but you drive into Green Bay, and it sits
in the middle of nowhere.
It's skyscraper.
It's farm, 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 house, gigantic stadium in the middle. No, you're like, where's this? There's no major city around or something. It's just, farm, 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 house.
And it's supported by every one of those people that live in
an incredible
in that
community,
area.
So it's a really cool experience. It's like, man, this is a cool field. And there's a lot of people there, and it's loud. But you go through the process, when you're playing away games and stuff, you'll have speakers on the field and you'll blast noise. So you actually get practice not hearing more than 2 feet away from you and everything like that. So, and when you're, you know, when you're in the zone, you're out there on the field and everything, you know, you can't hear the crowd. You're just, you know, you're locked in. It's just your guy next to you, you know, the defensive lineman across from you and the defense and what's on the field, you know, you kind of just lock in and kind of zone that.
Did you have music on the field with the Rams?
Yeah, we play, you know, music or static noise. Yeah. You know.
Isn't that the worst?
It's the worst. Right? It's not just like, okay, it's loud. It's deafening. Like, you know, the point where you're like, I should probably wear earplugs right now. You know?
It'd be like telling all you people to go home, turn on a static TV channel, turn it up as loud as you can, and just sit there for 2.5 hours. That's what a practice is when you're starting to prepare for playing an opponent at their stadium.
Yeah.
Sound effects courtesy of Eric Kush. Thank you very much. Hey, it was an exciting yet frustrating finish on Sunday, and it was a tough day, as everyone knows, for the wideouts. What was it like in the huddle? And, you know, and the guys are probably beating themselves up as you come back to the huddle. I don't know if apologies are in order at some point when you're standing there out on the field, but everybody makes their mistakes. And what was it, you know, as unfortunately it was one of those days at one particular position where it was particularly tough. How do you keep each other up? And were the wideouts getting a little down on themselves? Can they afford to do that?
Well, we're a team, so we got to pick each other up. We can't let each other, you know, go down that path of pity and everything. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. And we all take our turns. You know, if someone's had a bad play here, a bad play there, you know, so you got to let it go. And it's not just one play that wins or loses a game. You know, I mean, it could be one, you know, but there's, you know, different plays before that, you know, before that happens that, you know, could have affected the game as well. So you can't just say that this is, you know, this is the reason, you know, so you just pick each other up, keep going and keep going as a team, as a unit. You know, we've all taken turns, you know, messing something up. So you just keep going and pick each other up.
And I'd imagine it's kind of the theme of the whole season with all the, have you ever come close to anything to what this team has experienced, the epidemic of injuries this team has had?
It's definitely incredible. I don't know what the actual number is on the injured reserve, but it's
15 right now.
Yeah, that's an incredible number. Yeah. You know, that's unfortunate, but the show must go on. You know, you got to keep working. The next guy steps up and gets his opportunity, and it's up to him to take advantage of that and fill that role as best as he can, you know. So for me, I'm maximizing my opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, getting playing time and everything like that and having a good time doing it.
I'm sure that's what all the guys have to do in this situation. And nobody's happy with the 2-9, but, you know, as your head coach likes to say, there's no pity party, and they're not stopping the season for you either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, another thing we have is, you know, no one's coming to save you. You know, no one's going to just show up and save you. You got to keep putting the work in, keep doing it, and keep showing up on Sunday and keep grinding.
All right, time for another break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Glad to have an audience of Bears season ticket holders with us here at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, will be back with Eric Kush after another timeout. Cheer on your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single-game tickets are available. Visit chicagobears.com today. San Francisco 49ers coming to the lakefront high noon on Sunday. Welcome back into Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, joined by a number of season ticket holders here in our PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Glad to have them with us. Us being Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, and we got the right guard, Tom Thayer, the left guard, right. Eric Kush with us here. So we mentioned your Twitter account. The last time you tweeted was Thanksgiving night. I'm sitting there at home doing a little bit of homework after I stuffed my belly. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I see one of your tweets pop up, and it's a shot of your son who apparently got into a jar of peanut butter. So I will put this, if you guys on your phones can go to Twitter, go to @EricKush64. A lovely picture of your son. How old is he? 5 years old?
That son is 2 years old. He just turned two in August.
You have an older one.
I have
right?
an older son who's five.
Okay. So describe what happened that particular night. No turkey, I guess. It was just
peanut butter for that kid. Protein, you know. He so my 5 year old likes to eat peanut butter with a spoon out of the jar. You know, like a lot of people do. Nothing
right.
Whatever. And he must have left it sitting on the couch, so the 2 year old decides to go over there and stick his hands in it and lather it all over himself.
Up and down his legs. His legs were completely covered with peanut butter. All Eric tweeted was, "Happy Thanksgiving, everybody."
They were like, "We got to get a picture of this before we clean this up," you know.
And how was, do we have to call in hazmat or what? What was?
Well,
what
my
was
my wife, you know, God bless her. She works so hard with the kids and everything and making sure that they're squared away. She snatches them up and throws them right in the tub and scrubs and scrubs and scrubs all this, you know, peanut butter off them and everything. And then I cleaned up the couch and everything. And we went on with our day. You know, it's just something else pops up with two kids. You know?
And not only that, but I'll put this up on my computer if you folks can't get it on your phone here. And hey, this is great for radio, isn't it? But during the next break, I'll have this picture of it up for you for our studio audience here to check out because it is absolutely hilarious. And plus, on the couch, they're like, a Sharpie marker.
Oh, yeah. Sharpies, whatever. You know,
the couch.
Yeah, we made sure we got some furniture up here when we moved here that was disposable. You know, we didn't have to worry too much about. So,
does he take after you? Is this the way a young Eric Kush was?
You know, I'm not going to get into that. I was a fantastic kid. I never did anything wrong. But we knew, you know, when kids are kids. So when we moved here and we moved furniture and we made sure that we didn't have to worry too much about it. It wasn't an expensive set or anything like that.
You ever get a peanut butter covered kid again, let me know and I'll get my dog Ernie on him. And he'll love them clean, I guarantee you.
Well, I also saw you on the most recent episode of Inside the Bears. You did the big guys and small cars deal with Spice Anthony Adams. But the most amazing part for me was when you guys were all done, they showed the car that you hop into.
Yeah, my compact car.
Yeah. You got like a souped up Jeep. Well, what's yeah. going on over there?
So I liked Jeeping, you know, four wheeling ever since I was a little kid. And finally got a Jeep my sophomore year of college. And I love to modify them, work on them, you know, go four wheeling, go rock climbing and stuff like that. So when I got to the NFL, I kind of built my dream Jeep. You know, I got 1-ton truck axles.
Do you need a ladder to get inside of that thing?
I'm still young enough and athletic enough to kind of reach up and do a pull up into the car.
A little extra workout.
Yeah, it's not too bad though. So I got a 6-liter Chevy V8 in it and everything, and Atlas transfer case. You know, that's the 4-wheel drive and everything like that. And I got it stretched front and rear, so it's actually another 15-20 inches longer wheelbase than a stock 1995 Jeep Wrangler.
That's all legal on the road, though, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The people driving behind you got to hate you, especially if you're coming out of mud.
Because
your tires stick out like 4 inches outside.
No, they stay right under the fender. They stay right under the fender.
Somebody's waiting outside 1920.
I'd be chasing you down.
When it rains, I got these 40-inch mud tires. They flick water everywhere. I'm sure it looks like a monsoon behind me. And the I can't even tell how hard it's raining because the front tires kick up water on my windshield. So I got
That's unbelievable. Greg Miller is probably. Are these all good with our sponsors? Our auto sponsor? No, maybe one of them. Okay. Hey, one of the things. I apologize if I'm breaking some media locker room protocol here, but I just wanted to bring this up because earlier in the year, I thought one of the coolest moments outside of the football field and inside the locker room this year, and this is just something I and a couple other reporters happened to hear. You and one of your locker mates, who is also a new teammate, we won't necessarily name him unless you're comfortable doing it, but you guys would come out and you'd sit in your locker stalls and you'd be talking about some pretty serious stuff, issues of the day, education, things like that, some of the bigger issues that we need to have conversations about, whether it's, police actions or anything like that, and to me it was really refreshing because that's something that needs to be done for us to kind of gain a greater understanding of each other, whether we hold certain views strong and like the other person's views or not. I just thought that was a real cool moment. How often does that happen, or was it this particular teammate that may have prompted some conversation about things like that? Deep stuff.
Well, I'm sure you could agree, being with guys in the NFL, you've played with people from all over the place, all kinds of different upbringings, all kinds of different areas of the world even, and it's really cool to hear different opinions from, another upbringing or another part of the country or something like that. So it's cool to, expand, your worldview and your personal beliefs and everything like that and have a conversation like that with teammates, where you can trust that no one's going to get mad about your opinion or anything, your teammates, but it's cool to hear what the other person has to say.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think that you can have really serious conversations about so many topics across the world, and it's not offensive. Mm-mm. It's thought-provoking.
Absolutely.
And I do think because there's so many different guys that come from different areas of the United States, different educational backgrounds, all this type of stuff. And so I think that's when you develop the camaraderie of a team. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you guys are able to perform till the end of the game like last year, it's because of the friendships and the trust and the faith that you guys built in each other from those conversations to the work that you put on a practice field.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope I didn't break any protocol there. But I just thought it was really cool that people think they're just football players talking, thinking football around the clock, but even within their workday when they get a break like that. Cool stuff like that happens, and more of it, I think, needs to happen. Time for our final break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Thankful to have our Chicago Bears season ticket holders with us here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. Back to wrap things up with Eric Kush on 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tune in to the Bears Coaches Show, Radio Show Monday night, December 5th at 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Part of the Chicago Bears network of shows that includes Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber as we head down the home stretch from the PNC Studio at Halas Hall with some Bears season ticket holders, Chris Bowden and Tom Thayer, joined by Bears guard Eric Kush. And just as we wrap up here, one had a couple other questions concerning the Hard Knocks thing. Would you guys watch the shows as soon as they were released just to see what they were all doing with all that time around you? Did you have access to them? And how interesting was it to hear coaches talk about you guys? I would imagine what they were saying in their meeting rooms were the same things they'd probably tell you face-to-face. I heard Paul Boudreau call you a little dirtbag, or you had a little dirtbag in
dirt
you.
Bag
is that true?
That's a compliment.
that's an O-line compliment. It was cool to see, some of the behind-the-scenes process of it that you don't know about. You don't know what they do, once they're out of your offensive line meeting. What do they do? What do they say as coaches? Around a board table, you don't really know all that, the inside stuff. So it's cool to see that. But we would get they'd have DVDs for us, that we could watch it. If we didn't, have a way to stream it on a computer, but you're busy, incredibly busy, especially during training camp. So, we'd only be able to watch it, on our off day or something. But it was cool to see, all the behind the scenes stuff that goes on besides just our meetings with the coaches.
I know you had one teammate, was it William Hayes? That was the other big storyline. He didn't believe in dinosaurs.
But he did believe in mermaids.
He did believe in mermaids, did not believe in dinosaurs. You believe in both, right?
Absolutely. I'm sure mermaids rode dinosaurs back in the day.
One showed up at training camp there.
Absolutely.
But were you, when you popped that in, though, when you had an opportunity to watch it, were you nervous?
Yeah, because they get some footage and stuff, and you don't know how they're gonna cut it up or edit it to make you look this way or this way, So you're like, man, I wonder what they're gonna do with me,
But you were happy with everything, right?
Yeah, everything was great. They were fantastic. They backed off, when you were like, hey, I need to back off a little bit, and they were respectful and everything, and it was a fun time.
Well, last question, 49ers. What do you think of those guys defensively? I know they're an exciting, explosive offense. When you come off of a game with Dick LeBeau as a defensive coordinator, Tennessee Titans, it seemed like you guys saw every look up front, every blitz, every stunt that a team could possibly show you. But now what do you think about preparing for San Francisco?
Well, last week they certainly did, especially on the 2-minute drives at the end of the game. It was incredible. The stuff they threw at us and, our ability to pick it all up and get Barkley pretty clean back there. But we're going to work hard. We're taking a look at the 49ers. They, their last four-game stretch, looks decent, looks pretty good on defense. So, and they got some good players. We're going to have to go, prepare, like we do every week. Yeah. Figure out what we're going to do and execute our plan, as close to perfect as we can.
Eric, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate getting to know you a little bit better, and hope you're enjoying some your time in Chicago. Hope you we get to spend some more time with you years down the road. Eric Kush, ladies and gentlemen, guard for the Chicago Bears, joining us here on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Thanks to our Bears season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. For Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us on Bears All Access.